Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independent and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning again.
And our next guest is somebody who is quite special and who Otto read about in Act Two and had Christina track her down.
I did.
and actually, I do remember when you brought it up, tell me about Beverly, and said we have to find her, and Christina did find her. But Otto, why don't you take over from here and introduce Beverly Munter.
Introduce Beverly.
Munter, excuse me.
Well, Beverly turned into having a second career at a later age in life, which is above 60, right? We'll be charitable, even though the article said...
We'll be charitable.
You were 80. Well, I'm right there, too, so it's not a problem, you know. It's good to be in that age bracket. But anyhow, I thought it'd be very interesting to find out what made you tick and how you got into all of that. I believe that one of the things as you get older is you shouldn't just roll over and say, I'm old, I can't do anything anymore. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who do take that attitude, and I don't think it's a good attitude to have, and clearly you don't have that attitude. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what triggered you and led you to go into being a comic at your age. Actually, you went to school for 8 weeks, I think it was.
Right. Yes, I did.
Right. So maybe give us a little rundown on that.
Well, I always was a very funny gal, even when I was a little girl, because I lived in Hollis, Long Island, and I lived in a home where all my aunts and cousins lived. In those days, you couldn't afford a home by yourself. So all the sisters and all the aunts, we all lived together. Now, I was 10 years younger than all my siblings. I had one sister, I had lots of cousins, and the only way I could get attention was to do funny antics. So it started there, I guess. And then my father was a traveling salesman, and he was very funny. And he came from a very interesting family. His brother was in vaudeville. Mm. We're talking lots of years ago. And his mother was in Jewish theater. And my mother loved dancing and became a professional tango dancer at night. She was a seamstress during the day.
Wow.
So I have a family that always was very outgoing. It evolved that way. And then I worked as an administrator, as a vice president of administration in Hicksville for many years, for 35 years. And they needed someone.
Can I ask you what type of job that was?
Yes. It was a health insurance company.
Oh, okay. So.
And I was the administrator for, it was a conglomerate. It was accident and health insurance and dental. And there were many employees, and they were always leaving, coming and going. And I would do the roasts because I loved being on stage. So I would create funny antics about them. And I always an observing type of person. Actually, I was just thinking, just before me, how in the world can you have a nutritionist? If the audience saw what I look like, they would look at my body and I'd say, oh my goodness, I'm following a nutritionist. So wherever I go, I observe. And that's how I really got into comedy. But then I was married for 51 years. And my husband passed away 6 years ago. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. So I started saying I had something to offer because I was very lonely. And I became a motivational speaker at the libraries to singles, single people who were seniors, and told them, look, you don't have to be alone if you don't want to. It didn't only include widowers and widows. It included single people who were over 55 or 60. So I did that for many, many years, went to the libraries, and I interviewed couples who were like myself, who were out looking to find someone. I myself went on the internet at that point, and because I ran a very large business, I went on and I treated it like a business. I talked to, I guess it was about 1,500 men on the internet, and interviewed them over there and wrote about them, kept tons of documents on them because that's the type of person I am, and finally dated 44 of them.
I read that in
yes.
Number 44.
That's my
was your hit.
That was it. 44 was it. And we are together now. He is my boyfriend, my companion, whatever you want to call him. I call him number 44.
He's got to be very proud. 1,500 later.
That's, you know, right. That's a whole different subject, too. I mean, other than the comedy, the part about, like, I happen to have been a widow at 40 years old.
Yes.
And I remarried, and my wife and I have been married 37 years the second time around. But we've often talked about how we believe it's more difficult to become a widow or a widower at an older age because you don't have the same motivating factors. You don't have the family. You don't have a job. There's a lot of things you don't have. So since we do have a senior audience, a lot of them are in the older bracket and have gone through or are going through what you're talking about, which is not easy. It's very difficult, and maybe they don't have people to talk to or whatnot. But I found that part of your background to be very interesting because that's what you did, basically, is I read it before you got into the wanting to be a comedian.
That's right.
And that's good stuff, I think, because people who get into that part of life really need help sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help when you're, you know, in that bracket.
Just to, this is very serious. And you said 1,500, which is tremendous. So, and I know people have gone online and two, three, four times and they end. You literally went at it as a job. You said, I'd like to meet somebody.
Yes.
And this is, you know, my full-time job until I meet Mr. Wright. I think that's the way you have to look at it.
Well, here was my problem. I was 16 years old when I met my husband. I didn't get married till a month before I was 19. What did I know of the world?
Right.
What did I know of men?
Not much.
And in those days, everything was quiet. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't really go past your parents' home. So, and besides that, he was in the service, and I went with him to Dayton, Ohio. So I really didn't know what the world was about. I didn't know what men were about. So when I finally became, of course, I knew them through business.
Right, of course.
But certainly not where I could date them. So I said, I'm going to find out what it's like, because at that time, when he passed, I was 70 years old. He was 74, I was 70. So at 70 years old, I don't know, I didn't know what I wanted to meet. Did I want to meet a younger man? Did I want to meet the same religion? What should I do? So you go on that internet, and I must admit, I'm not so ugly, so lots of guys contacted me, and of all types, and even from Europe.
Quite the contrary. You're very good looking.
Very nice. Look at this. I could have had another
day. I'm looking at your hair. I love it. Your glasses. You're a package.
Great. Oh, thank you, guys. So I got lots of interesting people calling me and wanting to meet with me, and from all over. In fact, I was 70. I had men contacting me from Europe who were in their 40s. They said, I'll take care of you. So it was difficult. And I had to weed out a lot of people. And I had to meet a lot of people.
1,500, I think there was a lot of weeding.
A lot of weeding, right. So, and I had a lot of dates. As I say, I dated so many men. And I had a lot of experiences. And from those experiences, I did a lot to add to my act.
Right.
Because.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask you. That's a lot. You know, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that happen to you when you're dating. What happened is, for instance, I went one night to a diner and I met a man. I used to always meet them at diners. In fact, the heads of the diners thought that I was a madam because I'd meet all kinds of different men. And they knew me after a while. I used to go to practically the same diners. And I went to one night. And he greeted me at the door after I was work. I was all dressed up. I had come from work. And he said, I'm taking you to the table. When I got to the table, there were dirty dishes on the table. And I said, we can't sit here. Someone's eating here. He says, that's all right. Sit down. I already had the early bird special.
How?
So I didn't know what to do. I mean, listen, you're going to have some pluses and some minuses. So I went to the ladies' room.
And leave.
I didn't leave that way. I went to the ladies' room, called my daughter, and I said, wait a minute, I got to get out of here. So I went back to the table. I said, I'm terribly sorry. I just spoke to my daughter, and my granddaughter is sick. I have to leave.
Well, that was good.
Okay. So that was pretty good. Mean to him, but that wasn't so great. So I had quite a lot of experiences. I started dating younger men. One was so young that when I took him to an affair, they had one of these climbing walls. at one of those climbing walls, and I looked for him, and he was at the top of one of those climbing walls. And everyone said, what did you do? Bring your nephew or your niece or whatever? What'd you bring to this place? I was dating too many younger men, too.
Yeah.
So I had quite a bit of experiences. And yeah, all of this leads to comedy, because that's what happens. You observe. You observe people's habits. I go to the supermarket, I observe. You go to the bank, I watch. I write notes. I always carry a notebook with me. I always have notes with me. And that's how I get a lot of my material.
You know what? One of the areas I wanted to ask you about is when seniors, older seniors, and this could be part of your comedy act eventually, I think, when older seniors think about getting together, and they're in their 70s or 80s or whatever.
What do you mean you by talk, get it together?
Well, that's the point. You get to where the word intimacy comes into the equation, all right? And you think about when you get into the next bracket, the mechanics may not be quite what they were, like when I was 40, me for an example, or the packaging may not be quite as good as they were when you were younger. So now you get into this, you know, like you're going on the internet, and let's say you're older than 70, you're 80, and you're thinking about doing something like this, and you got mechanical problems, and you got,
of course,
you know, packaging problems.
Well, I use that. I use that in my act. I say, listen.
There are other forms of intimacy is what I'm getting
at. I say.
Oh, you could have got that much quicker.
Well, I don't know. I'm an X-rated comedian. I have to be careful. I'm on the radio today.
Well, I heard about
but
you,
I
by the
say,
way.
But I do say in my act, I say, listen, guys, no matter what is hanging or dripping or shrinking, you are under those covers, it still feels good. So I take away the frightening part of it, because when you find someone that you really care about and you love, that's all that matters.
Well, that's my point, I think, with whoever we have still listening to us.
Listen, I think if you can't laugh at what's happening in your life, I'm going to be 82 years old in June, and I've always had this attitude. Keep that stiff upper lip. Have fun.
I agree with you.
And just do whatever feels good to you. Meet people all around you, and stop thinking that you're old, because they say, what, the 80 is the new 60? It can be. It really can be. I've proven it.
I mean, I know people who are much younger, and they're already old in their attitude.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's attitude plays a huge part in all of this, really.
Yes.
You know? Actually, we've got to jump into a break. We're going to be back with Beverly. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I'm getting some cold water, and we'll be right back.